Hi, I'm Circe Olson-Wessner, the director of the Museum of the American Military Family in Tijeras, New Mexico, and this is our podcast, At Ease. I'm talking with Lauren Mosher. She's a Marine Corps brat, and she's our writer in residence for the museum. And we're talking long distance over the phone. You are in Virginia, right? Hi, Lauren. Are you in Virginia?
Hi, Circe. I am. I'm in Richmond, Virginia.
Okay, cool. I got it right. Hey, well, people may find it strange, but, you know, you've been our writer in residence going on about 2 years, and we've never even met. You know, you're there in Virginia, and we're here. And so I was thinking how we're friends, and we work together, and we've done these books, and we've never actually met. And I'm thinking that's normal for military families and for federal workers, you know, and I guess right now, due to the pandemic, more people are working remotely, so this may not be so unusual anymore. So I am so glad that we met, and I wanted just to introduce you to our listeners. So why don't we start with what you do? I think you have an interesting job.
I have multiple jobs. So I come from a corporate background. I left the mortgage business a couple years ago. I was doing that for 13 years. And my passion is really animals, more specifically dogs. So mm-hmm. I left and I now run a dog walking and pet sitting business. I have about 18 staff members, and I'm the boss, so I kind of just do payroll and invoicing, and I'm here for emergencies, and if somebody needs something or we have a key emergency is what I like to call when somebody can't get into a home or is having trouble with the lock. So I have about 18 staff members, so I do that. And then I also, of course, do some freelance writing. And I also currently, since this pandemic, I know it's been tough on people, I have taken a part-time job at Kroger, the grocery store. So my brother and I own an Airbnb together, and since people are not traveling, that's kind of on hold right now. So I've taken the Kroger job to supplement that. So that's what I do. I like to stay moving and busy all the time.
Well, it sure sounds like it. I'm glad we could squeeze in a few minutes, and that makes me even more triple impressed that you have time to work on some of these writing projects. But so let me ask you about the dog walking business and this pandemic. Is it causing... Well, with all the people staying home, do you still have dogs you have to walk?
We do. I made the decision kind of on the forefront of things before we had the announcement to shut down. I kind of proactively made the decision to only service those who are essential medical personnel. So we have about 4 to 5 clients right now who are on the front lines, and we do still walk their dogs. So I have 2 to 3 walkers, and they just have about 1 to 2 walks apiece every day. We're helping those who have to be out in the field and on the front lines for us.
Wow, that's great that you guys are able to do that, because I know with all the stuff that the healthcare workers have to worry about, you know, to take at least one small thing off their plate while they're, you know, fighting this pandemic is a blessing for them. So, so let's talk about dogs. You mentioned that, you know, dogs are your passion. Were you always a dog person?
Yes, and I'm going to back up for a minute because I do want to give a shout out to my walkers and my amazing staff who are sticking in there, and the ones who are just sticking and struggling, and to everybody who is sticking and struggling and hanging in there. So we appreciate everybody who is going out and doing, and those who are staying at home as well, who are doing their due diligence through this time. And as far as being a dog person, I have always been a dog person, but I haven't been as obsessed or obsessive about them as I have been in my adult life. And I always had a dog growing up. My family always did. But I really sort of woke up to my passion when I started, I guess it was about 8 years ago, I started volunteering at a local animal shelter called Richmond Animal League. Mm-hmm. And that is a no-kill shelter. So they pull the animals from the municipal shelters who are on at risk of euthanasia, and they adopt out all of the animals. So I really woke up to that passion and really fell in love with that kind of work and being a service in that capacity through my volunteer work.
Well, I've seen you post pictures of dogs that need adopting, and you write these incredible little stories. I mean, I just want to take them all home, all 8 million, all 8 million of them. And so you do a really good job of writing descriptions and personalities and things like that. So, hey, before I forget, so what is the name of your dog walking business if anybody in Richmond needs a dog walker?
Sure, it's called River City Dog Excursions.
Okay, all right, very cool. So, getting back to dogs and your passion, your first project as the writer in residence for us was compiling the anthology Hero Dog. You know, we got that all sorts of people sent in stories about their dogs. And so, what made you actually come up with the idea to do an anthology on dogs?
I wanted to do a piece that really resonated with me and that I could identify with. And I thought about how much my life has changed as a result of being close to dogs and being around dogs and having dogs myself. And I thought, wouldn't it be neat to kind of tease out the stories that others might have to where they have had some changes in their life around having dogs and what their experiences have been growing up with dogs and through their adulthood and maybe sort of that special favorite dog that has touched their life or their lives and what that's meant for them.
Well, we got some really good stories, quite a few sad stories too in that anthology, but you know, everybody who's read it has told me that they resonate with it, even if they don't know the people who wrote the story or the dogs. They have, you know, it touches a memory that they have of their own dogs or a similar circumstance, and so I think it's very relatable, and so we may have to do a sequel at some point.
I would be down for that. That would be great.
So getting back to your writing, besides being the writer in residence for the museum, which is a wonderful honor for us, I know you're a writer and you write freelance, and your descriptions of your dogs that you're trying to adopt out are amazing. You wrote a piece for our book, Shout, which was the anthology that Laura Belden and I worked on. And so that was really cool. And where else has your writing been featured?
I have a piece on the Elephant Journal, which is a blog. Mm-hmm. And I did several stories, probably about 8 to 10 stories for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, mm-hmm. which is our newspaper here locally. And then I also recently was featured, I had a story in Chicken Soup for the Soul.
Oh,
so that
cool.
was very exciting for me.
Now that's cool. Now how did you get involved with that one?
Chicken Soup has a call for submissions occasionally, and a friend of mine sent me the information to submit to this one particular edition, and it was the piece that I submitted was, of course, about my dog, and I submitted that and just kind of forgot about it and was very excited when I got an email back saying that I had made the final cut and I would be published in that forum.
So let's talk about your dog then. Your dog, of course, is featured in the Hero Dog book, and now it's featured in Chicken Soup for the Soul. So what is your dog's name, and why are you writing about him, her?
I have both. I have a him and a her. Wow. I have Georgie. Mm-hmm. Georgie Jane is my beagle, and then Gus is my big boy. We just had a DNA test done on him, actually, mm-hmm. which you can have done on dogs, and mm-hmm. he is mostly pit bull, He's 25% lab, and then he's equally split between Great Dane and some sort of Alaskan breed. So he's a good mix of all the good stuff. And the second part that you asked me, Cersei, what else did you ask me to answer?
Well, what kind of story did you write, and which dog was featured? Both dogs? And just a little bit about what made them be your muse for a story.
Sure. So both of them are very special little beings. Both of them are rescues. Georgie Jane was a laboratory beagle, excuse me. And what that means is that she, for the first 6.5 years of her life, she underwent animal testing and never got out of a cage. So when I got her, I introduced her to the world. So she experienced looking in the mirror for the first time, grass. She learned how to go up and down steps. She learned what a positive human experience could be like, which I started introducing positive interaction with her by sitting on the floor and feeding her from my hand so that she knew that I was safe. And so I really just kind of watched her open up. And Gus, of course, like I said, is also a rescue, and he has a very distinctive burn scar, which runs from the middle of his shoulder blades to his tail. It's very large, and it's a chemical burn. Yeah. So before I got him, a human hand burned his back. So there will never be hair that grows there. It runs like lightning down his spine. And somebody once told me, you know, he would be so pretty if he didn't have this scar. And I thought, and I actually said, he's pretty because he has this scar, because that's what makes him unique. And I think a lot of us go through struggles in our lives, and mm-hmm. I think it's very special when we get to go through a change, to change ourselves, and to find our passion, or to find our calling. And so what I have felt is I've lived two lifetimes in one existence. Mm-hmm. So I had one where I was what I call asleep, and one where I have woken up. Mm-hmm. And my dogs have helped me through that process. So that's kind of my story and their story.
Wow. You know, I'm still horrified. First of all, I'm always horrified when I read about people abusing animals, but I'm horrified that they're still doing animal testing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was kind of, Well, so were they both in your shelter, the one that had rescued them from a kill shelter? Would they have been euthanized if you hadn't gotten them, or?
Yes, so they were both on death row, or whatever you'd like to call it. Georgie got pulled from that laboratory along with, I think, 13 beagles. And our shelter took them on and adopted each of them out from the same facility. And Gus was found as a stray in one of the rural counties near me, and he was pulled. He was getting ready to be put down as well. He's a black dog, and because black dogs kind of look scarier, and cats as well. Believe it or not, black dogs and cats are the least adoptable animals out there in the shelters because they look more threatening or ominous than the other dogs do. And I would like to say a little note about my dog, Gus, that he is also, I'm currently in training with him too. He just passed his canine good citizen test. So he's a canine good citizen. He's recognized through the American Kennel Club as a canine good citizen. And we're on our way to him getting his therapy dog certification so that he can help others. And we plan on going into hospitals to help children and those in need.
Awesome. That is so cool.
Yeah.
We would love to do that. We have a Jack Russell, but he has not the personality to be a good citizen or but he brings us great pleasure. My husband says he's his therapy dog.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we wanted to talk about some of our projects that you and I are working on together. And especially your project, the new anthology. I know that we've had a call out for some stories for the book is called Brat Time Stories, Stories for the Nocturnal Brat. All of those stories are that we're asking for, that you're asking for, take place at night. How's that going? Are you getting a lot of submissions? What kind of stories are they sharing?
We've gotten several submissions. We need people to contribute more stories. We're always accepting more stories. Mm-hmm. And some ideas that we have come across, and also some things that might spark some memories or some interest. You could do anything from camping to prom to moving, scouts, you know, trick-or-treating, anything that happens at night. My friends and I used to play this game called Ring and Run, where we'd ring somebody's doorbell. All of you know it. You ring somebody's doorbell and then run away and watch somebody become all flustered when they answer. So anything, it could be funny, it could be spooky, it could be just anything that happens at night, a memory that you have, any sort of pranks that you've pulled. We'd love to hear anything that you might have that is memorable to you.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny you mentioned pranks at night. My father used to go and tip outhouses back in the 30s with his friends, and one of his friends actually fell in after they were tipping the outhouse. He slipped and fell in. And my dad said not one person helped him get out.
Oh my gosh. I don't think I would have helped either.
So listen, we're going to have to wrap it up. I don't know if you can hear my Jack Russell in the background barking. I think there's like a huge monster out there, or a squirrel or something.
He's protecting you.
He is. So where can people submit, and what is the deadline? I think the deadline was August, right?
August is the deadline, and you can reach us at mamfwriter@gmail.com. That's M as in Mary, A, M as in Mary, F as in Frank, writer@gmail.com.
Well, great. I hope we do get some more stories, and I think the topic is fun. I think it's fun. You know, it's nighttime stories. It makes you really have to think, you know, so it can have parts, I guess. I mean, I would assume that we are going to allow people to maybe start in the daytime and work towards the night. It's not going to have to be completely in the nighttime, right?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, great. Hey, well, listen, I know you have to get ready to go to your other jobs, but I wanted to thank you for doing this little interview with us, introducing yourself to the to our listeners, and, you know, talking about some of your projects. I wanted to thank you very much for your work at the grocery stores, which is also the front lines in this pandemic, and also what you're doing to support our first responders in with your dog walking business. I'm finding that we're doing the best we can, helping out wherever we can, and it's really a good feeling, and I sometimes wish we could do more to help the, you know, everybody.
Well, I thank you so much for having me, Circe. It's been a joy. Thank you.
Okay, well, once again, this is Circe Olson-Wessner, the director of the Museum of the American Military Family in Taharis, and this has been our podcast At Ease, and I was speaking with Lauren Mosher, who's our writer in residence for the museum. So I wanted to thank you and wish you a happy rest of your day.